You're listening to Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in the studio by Kate Lochte and by phone with Mike Conver.
Hello again, Mike.
Hi, Kate.
Let me tell our listeners that you grew up in central Illinois. You've taught in junior high school, counseled special needs children. You've been a principal, then you retired from a post as a school superintendent. You're a Vietnam War-era U.S. Air Force veteran, and you were a writer for a while for television, a writer of news for television, and then Boy Scout leadership experiences drew you to teaching. The book you've written is all about teaching, and I'd like you to start off by putting the title in context.
The title, Kate, is Small Forces, and the implication is that little things that are done for or to or with children build up and become influences in their lives. And I kind of liken it to the pawn on the chessboard. It's an insignificant or nearly insignificant piece by itself, but moved forward only six times, it becomes a queen and then dominates the board. And those are the small forces that are presented by parents, by teachers, by administrators that influence children's lives.
Well, the chess game is obviously integral to the plot of this book.
Well, it was a means for the teacher in the book to get close to a couple of children who happened to be brothers, and is something that is kind of unique as a sport or as an activity for kids, because it isn't based on their strength or their speed or anything like that. It's on their ability to visualize this board and figure out how to make the pieces on it work to their advantage.
And the conflict begins with a special needs student getting involved with the chess club.
Yes, the special needs student is a very bright 12-year-old boy who does not read well. It may be that he has dyslexia, but he's very capable and has been with his age mates in the lower grades. On the transition to junior high school, however, they don't get the re-eval done for him, so the principal decides to place him in a special needs class with other students who are more disadvantaged than this boy. He misses the friends he was with. He's not challenged by the content or the curriculum, and wants to be back in a regular division classroom.
And this boy becomes a hero through the book in relation to his older brother, who gets involved with some nasty business.
He does. The older brother has a friend who he has grown up with, who is into some drugs and who has been in contact with a drug dealer who is extorting him by saying, well, I loaned you some money to fix your car, now you've got to sell drugs for me. And this boy does not want to do that and doesn't feel he's very good at it. But at this point, the drug dealer is pressing him strongly to do what he wants.
And I guess I should interject that we can't really give away much more of the plot, because it's really quite a thriller in many ways, unless you'd like to kind of do an inkling of the thrilling part of this, the TV kind of thrilling. And then there's the quiet thrilling with you say in the preface that there's some characters you want to strangle. And I would say the drug dealer and the principal are the two that that got me.
Those are not nice people, in my view. The principal less overtly. He's just a lazy, self-centered person who should not be in the job he has. And I want to hasten to say he does not represent the vast majority of principals that there are in public schools today.
I'm glad you said that, because it does, the school plot hinges around his action, and the crime plot centers around these awful drug dealing people, one of whom comes from the Vietnam era, like you. So what I'm thinking is you've been able to, through your life experiences, sort of create a book that brings alive all the problems that are pressing to parents today.
There are also two individuals in that book who are single parents, and they face a lot of difficulties in bringing up their kids, especially at the high school age, and combating those forces that are wanting young people to get into drugs or alcohol or sex or other things. And in the book, I think those two people, they're both females, are trying to decide in their minds whether they're doing right by their children or not.
As a single parent, you know all about that as well.
Well, I have been a single parent.
So,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, just fortunately, this past week, I've had both of my kids here at my home, and we celebrated the first birthday of my granddaughter.
So you're into the spoiling phase.
Oh, absolutely. I'll do it every chance I get.
Now, you've retired, and you're living on Lake Barkley, and you're active in Katie's Rotary. How many years did it take for you to birth this book, Small Forces?
It was actually written over the space of about 1 year. At that time, I was teaching at Bradley University and really quite bored. I was in a building that didn't have short people in it, and that's not my thing. Not long after I finished the book, I changed jobs and became a principal and later a superintendent.
And what do you hope for this book? It seemed to me that it might be a really great one to have in a teacher training curriculum.
Well, I'm not. It's not a primer for teachers by any means, nor is it a how-to book for parents. It's a story about some people. I kind of feel like Picasso in his Cubist period. I took people apart and put them back together in various ways to form the characters that I have there. And I hope that anybody who's been around schools or has been a parent will recognize themselves and some of the people they've worked with, as well as some of the courageous kids.
Let's do talk a little bit about the courage displayed in this book. Can you do so without it's spoiling the whole story?
Oh, I think so. The two brothers, of course, are very much concerned about each other, to the point that they put themselves in danger to protect the other. Even the teenager who was into drugs and has dropped out of school has a point in there where he refuses to go on doing what the drug dealer wants him to do, and shows a great deal of courage that way.
Mike, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us. Let's wrap up by letting our listeners know where to find the book, Small Forces.
The book can be ordered online, either through Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, or Amazon. And they can search for it either with my name, Mike Conver, or by the title, Small Forces.
Have you another book coming soon?
Everybody asks that. I don't know if
I'm sorry.
I do or not. I have an idea rolling around in my head, but it's not taken very much shape yet.
I think you're having too much fun as a granddad.
Oh, I certainly am. Huh.
Thank you for speaking with me today.
You're welcome, Kate. It's been a pleasure.